Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI on this Friday, October 4th, 2013. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a good weekend. Should be a nice weekend. Mid-80s, you know, for the daytime highs, down to about upper 50s. I can certainly live with that. We are here live 12:04 to 1, Monday through Friday on KVOI. Hope you are going to be able to join us for the full program. But if you miss a portion of the program, we make it so easy for you to hear the show really anytime, anywhere. You can listen at BuckmasterShow.com, TucsonCitizen.com, and TucsonSentinel.com all carry our podcast. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Will Humble. Will is the director of the Arizona Department of Health Services. Joining me to question Mr. Humble, who will be joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line in a few minutes from Phoenix. He's in a meeting right now, but will be with us in a couple of minutes. Mark Evans is here, editor of Inside Tucson Business, and Linda Valdez is the Tucson-based editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic. If you have a question or comment, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, and we invite you to follow us on Facebook. All right, let's go now to Phoenix. First of all, good to see Linda. Nice to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
And Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks.
All right. While we're waiting for Will Humble, we will be joined by Laura Oxley. Laura is the spokesperson for the Arizona Department of Health Services. Laura, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, Bill,
good.
Mark, and Linda.
Yeah, it's good to have you for a few minutes with us. The question that we have, what is the impact of this partial shutdown in Washington on the Arizona Department of Health?
Mostly, we've been having a lot of meetings to look at how this would impact us if it goes a long time. At this point, there's not an immediate impact on the department.
How about the WIC funding?
You know, WIC's probably one of the most high profile because it actually goes out and helps the individuals, lots of individuals, about 160,000 women and children every year. We're doing good on funding. I know initially we had thought that we wouldn't have quite as much, but we were informed of a contingency fund, and we believe that's going to help the Arizona WIC program continue through the month of October.
So it looks like there's enough funding to get you through this month anywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes, and it's really important for people to keep those appointments, to get into the clinics and to talk to their advisors, because it's more than just the checks for the healthy food, you know, which are limited foods. They get fruits and vegetables, whole grains, milk, low-fat milk, cheese, but they also get education about how to take care of things and be healthy and help their children stay active.
All right, here's Linda Valdez of the Republic, Laura.
Hi, Laura. I'm wondering about long-term impacts from this. If you the Department of Agriculture said they found a fund where they're going to give you some emergency money that you say may last till the end of the month in terms of the WIC funding. But are there any expenses associated with this or long-term repercussions from this that might impact the department?
If the shutdown goes on a long time, which can be, you know, into next week and even the following week, we're really going to have to take some considerations because the Department of Health Services has a lot of grants from the federal government. Right now, we're in a good position because they're in a grant cycle to where you draw down money and you're taken care of for, you know, a couple of months at a time. But we're talking about programs that look out for Valley Fever, obesity, our home visiting programs. So that's why we're having so many meetings to look and try and plan for when the impacts will really hit us, all the while hoping that they come to a resolution.
All right. Laura Oxley, we have Mark Evans here from Inside Tucson Business. Go ahead, Mark.
Thanks. Hi, Laura. While the CDC is still mostly funded and still performing its emergency operations, it's not doing some of its other reporting. I know we're entering the flu season. I know the state health department does a lot of outreach to get people to get their flu shots. Would there be any repercussions with the CDC's lack of reporting in terms of how you target or where you're targeting your flu shots?
Well, we don't actually assign the flu shots. They're purchased by individual physicians, so it won't impact that part of it. Probably the biggest thing is the national flu report that the CDC does that allows us to kind of watch trending across the country, and that isn't being produced at this time. So we're still tracking the cases in Arizona, and we'll look at some of the other things that are out there, like Google Flu Trends and the Flu Near You, which are not government-sponsored, to look for the cases that are coming in the states around us. But it's important. It's very important that we know what's going on a national level, but we're able to protect and make good messaging for the people of Arizona without that national flu report, too.
Okay, 10 past 12 now on the Buckmaster Show. Laura, thank you for giving us an update on what really there's not that much impact, apparently, of the shutdown on the Arizona Department of Health Services. We have lots to speak with Will Humble about medical marijuana and flu, to name a few topics. Mr. Humble will be joining us in a few moments. Laura, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Let's take a break right here. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Under the glowing glass of brilliant light, experience UA Biosphere 2 Discovery Nights. For the first time ever, premiering the wonders of Biosphere 2 at night with extended hours. Beginning Saturday, September 28th, join us for five straight Saturday nights for an exciting family adventure with activities that promote curiosity and creativity. Receive a free annual pass with nighttime adult admission. Kids 12 and under are free. Limit 2 per adult. Visit b2science.org for more event details.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small, mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. As we push toward 12:15, it is our Friday Focus interview. Will Humble, the director of the Arizona Department of Health Services, joining us now from Phoenix on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mr. Humble, how are you today?
Oh, good afternoon. Happy Friday, as we say in
Yeah, we made it. You know, I was shocked. I got some information from the Pima Council on Aging. They're saying that really only 6% of people age 65 and older here in Pima County, Director Humble, have been vaccinated so far this season. I guess that is significantly below a public health goal, correct?
Oh, it's way below our overall goal for the season, but it's not bad for October 3rd. You know, the vaccination season, our big real push for getting people vaccinated early is in October. Our most successful month for vaccinating is whenever we start seeing lots of cases, because so many people put off the vaccine until they start hearing about it on the local news about the emergency departments being full. Our goal is to try to get people vaccinated before that happens. So it's still October, what is it, 3rd or 4th? You know, that's not bad for now. Certainly if it was, you know, if we were at 6% in November, I'd be panicking.
And I do want to put a plug in for the Pima Council on Aging. They asked that I announce that Tuesday from 9:30 in the morning till 1, this upcoming Tuesday at the Flowing Wells Community Center, they're going to have a flu shot clinic for folks 65 and older. So these flu vaccines are covered under Medicare
right.
Part B benefit, so there's no copay, so there's really no reason not to get the flu shot. Here's Linda Valdez, Director Humble from the Arizona Republic.
Hi, Director Humble.
Hi.
Since we're on the subject of flu shots, I have a husband and a daughter who refuse to get flu shots every year. What's your best argument for why people should get flu shots?
Look, there's two reasons people get the flu shot. Number one is, you know, to protect yourself, right? But if that's not enough, you know, give them a speech about how your vaccine is the best protection for others in your neighborhood and community, especially those who have special needs. So, you know, for some people, you know, who aren't compelled by the self-protection argument, it's community protection. And that's what we really focus on, by the way, on some of the zip codes that we have in Arizona where we have so many under and unvaccinated kids. You know, a lot of affluent parents have been, you know, not vaccinating their kids these days. And for those parents, we try to use that community protection argument, and it has been working with some success.
I know that it's been an issue for several years with parents, as you mentioned, sometimes the affluent ones who aren't vaccinating their kids for childhood illnesses. Is that also the case where they are refraining from flu shots as well?
Well, I think you see it across the board in certain zip codes, usually high-income zip codes. People who think of themselves as being politically progressive, by the way, that decide that they know better than everybody else, you know, when it comes to vaccines. But many of them don't fully understand the fact that vaccinations protect communities of people, not just individuals, and that it's really part of a social contract that we have with each other, that we all get vaccinated, and in that way we protect not just ourselves and our family, but folks in our community, especially those with special needs, who don't fully, you know, benefit or have a full titer when they get a vaccine shot. So, you know, it's really about community protection, and I just try to keep hammering home that message for those folks that think of the flu shot as solely, you know, about protecting themselves. It's not just you're not just putting yourself at risk. You're putting special needs people in your community at risk when you don't get a vaccine, period.
All right. Here is Mark Evans, the editor of Inside Tucson Business with Director Humble. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, Director. Your communications person just earlier was talking to us and said that for the time being, the state health department, in regards to the shutdown, seems to be okay as long as it doesn't last too long. there's a chance this could get worse before it gets better, because we've got the debt ceiling debate coming up within a couple of weeks as well. Have you got worst case scenario plans ready to go, and what could those worst case scenarios be?
Well, at this point, we're really looking at this in two pieces, like you've kind of described. One is, you know, the government shutdown piece, and what is the contingency planning for each of the federal grants that we have, you know, from the federal government. From the most of them are one part or another of Health and Human Services, and so, and in some cases USDA for the WIC program. So we've been looking at the October cash flow, the funding cycles that we have, the folks that we have on that money, and then, you know, the community impacts that the shutdown would affect. We're fortunate in many of our grant programs, at least through October, that the funding cycles allow us to continue services. But that's not the case if this thing continues into November. There would obviously be both community impacts and impacts to the public health system if this were to go into November. But at this point, we're putting the bulk of our efforts into the short-term planning. And, you know, in the background, some of our financial team, our CFO and others, are looking at the longer-term questions. But that's such an uncertain universe that, honestly, we've been putting most of our effort into, you know, the immediate task at hand, which is to make sure we're monitoring our cash flow and not putting the state at risk for decisions that the federal government is or basically isn't making right
so,
now.
So the Access Program gets a considerable amount of money from the federal government. If that were to become into some kind of jeopardy, could Access continue under state funding, or is that amount of money too big?
Yeah, you'd have to talk to Access about that, but my understanding is the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, which is part of Health and Human Services, has essentially the continued spending authority for Medicaid and Medicare, even though the federal government is technically shut down for many other aspects. So, but that's a question that's probably better asked to Director Betlach over at Access.
All right. Will Humble with us, the State Director of the Department of Health Services. Want to talk about the homegrown medical marijuana issue. Which,
we couldn't get through an interview without medical marijuana.
Yeah, we couldn't get through it. We always talk about it with you every time you're on the show, and you're always very candid, and we're very appreciative of your remarks. Of course, this goes back to the voter initiative from 2010. Can you give us kind of an update? How many dispensaries now do we have in the state?
We've got in the neighborhood of 80 dispensaries that are up and running in all corners of the state. And really, we have pretty decent coverage even in rural Arizona. Now, the initial dispensaries were really in the Tucson and Phoenix areas, but we've got dispensaries in pretty much every corner of the state now. In fact, I think about 96% of Arizonans live within 25 miles of a dispensary these days.
And we've had these two medical marijuana patients who have sued the state after you denied them permission to grow their own plants. What did it say in that, Director Humble, what did it say in that voter initiative about growing your own? Or did it say anything about it?
Yeah, the voter-approved initiative, the actual language that the voters voted yes or no on in the voting booth back in November 10, basically said that folks can grow their own marijuana as long as they live more than 25 miles away from the nearest dispensary. Well, as you know, there was some questions around the conflict between state and federal law, et cetera, throughout 2011 and even into 2012, which is why the dispensaries didn't get up and running right away. But once those dispensaries got up and running, our job was to look to see if new card applications were within 25 miles of a dispensary. And if they were, we basically do not grant them cultivation rights because that's what the voter-approved initiative said. So somebody sued us, which, by the way, I've been sued like, I don't know, 16 times or something on this.
How many times?
I don't know. It's more than a dozen, I could tell you that. So we'll see what the court says. To me, this is a real obvious case in which, you know, I'm sure the court will dismiss it, but we'll, you know, you never know. You know, we'll be in court and we'll be there defending what the law said that the voters voted on, which is that if, you know, you can only grow if you're in a remote area of the state.
Okay, here's Linda Valdez again.
I know that this is the voters that did this as far as the medical marijuana is concerned, but it, to me, it's never seemed like medicine if you have to go to a special place to buy it. Is this whole thing just a sham? I mean, is there any legitimate use for this medical marijuana? And I know that you've done your best to make it as tight as you can, but is this a sham?
Well, here's the thing. The way I look at the medical marijuana program is that the voters approved it and they gave the job to us to administer, and we're doing the best that we can. You know, the voters approved a list of conditions that are approved for medical marijuana cards, and there's a process in place for people to add and request new conditions to be put on the list. We actually have some hearings scheduled at the end of October for adding some new debilitating medical conditions to the list. And, you know, I'm going to look at the data that comes in from those petitions and look at the public comment with a real clear eye to, you know, what does the evidence show? And, you know, if the evidence shows that there's some benefit that's, you know, shown under the, you know, with scientific evidence, then I'm willing to add conditions to the list, but I want to use an evidence-based process so that I'm actually looking at scientific evidence. So I'm not going to second-guess the voters on this. I'm just going to continue to implement the law that the voters approved in the best way that we can, trying to keep it as medical as possible and not let it drift into a recreational program, as in the case in, say, California.
Here's Mark Evans from the Inside Tucson Business.
So there's also an effort going on currently to an initiative to put on the ballot for 2014, an effort to repeal marijuana prohibition entirely in the state of Arizona. If that were to pass, would that make the medical marijuana law moot, or would you continue to have to regulate medical marijuana even though anybody could get it as they want under that new initiative?
Right. So I've read the 2014 ballot, and the initiative that's being circulated trying to get enough signatures to put on the 2014 ballot. I've read it, and they mention the Department of Health Services getting some tax revenue from that initiative, but we don't have any responsibilities per se if that were to be approved by the voters. Interestingly, I believe it's the Arizona Department of Revenue that has the bulk of the responsibilities if that initiative were to pass. So it refers to the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act but doesn't dismantle it. So my assumption would be that, you know, that the two initiatives could potentially exist side by side, and the dispensaries would still exist, but if the voters approved it, there would be, you know, the Department of Revenue would come into this new role, which I honestly haven't studied too closely. I'll read it in a lot more detail once I find out whether or not they get enough signatures.
Right, which they are claiming they do, but they all claim that they do.
All right, only got about a minute with Will Humble, Director of Arizona Health Services. Going back to conditions, how long is the list for the conditions that are granted under this medical marijuana? And can you kind of give us what are some of the conditions, please?
Well, some of the specific conditions are related to, for example, patients who have cancer, HIV wasting, hepatitis C, agitation of Alzheimer's, muscle spasms, you know, a host of about a dozen specific conditions. But the vast majority of the patients that are registered with us qualify under severe and chronic pain. Now, it can't be severe and chronic pain for no reason. There has to be a condition that caused the severe or chronic pain, so the vast majority of the patients, you know, qualify under that category, and it can be anything from a sports injury, you know, to you know, to migraines. So it's a pretty wide encompassing list if the condition causes severe and chronic pain.
All right. Will Humble, thank you very much. I hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself, whatever you're going to be doing. Take it easy.
All right. Have a safe afternoon.
Thanks a lot. Will Humble, the director of the Arizona Department of Health Sciences. Coming up, our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Linda Valdez is here and Mark Evans. We will continue right after we hear from the Buckmaster Show fine sponsors.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. House Republicans say that since Congress and the President will be in town this weekend, it's a perfect time to start negotiating on a plan to reopen the government. Republican leaders say the House will be in session tomorrow so it can continue passing bills that reopen select parts of the government. The White House responds by issuing fresh veto threats, saying that Congress should reopen the entire federal government. According to a federal law enforcement official, Miriam Carey had been deteriorating mentally for months before leading police on a chase from the White House to the U.S. Capitol yesterday, where she was shot and killed. 71-year-old man who spent more than four decades in solitary confinement in Louisiana has died less than a week after a judge freed him, granting him a new trial. Dow up 71 points. More details at SR.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. Time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable, featuring our team of local journalists who are kind enough to come in and talk about the week's top stories. And it's no secret, obviously, what the top story of the week is. Of course, it's the partial shutdown of the government in Washington, and that is not just a national story, but it trickles down into every community really in the country. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable today, Linda Valdez, Tucson-based editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic, and Mark Evans, who is wrapping up now his second week as editor of Inside Tucson Business. If you have a question or comment, we would be delighted to hear from you, 790-2040. Mark, let's begin with you. There was a lot of confusion about Sabino Canyon, of course, being under the umbrella. It is a federal site. So can folks go out there and still walk, or what's going on? Can they take the tram?
So that's a good question. the Sabino Canyon Visitor Center parking lot, restrooms, all that is closed. The tram is shut down. However, the trails that run in and out of the forest are just trails. They're still open, and there's still people walking on them. If you try to get through the Sabino Canyon barriers, there's a ranger there that says, hey, go away. You're not supposed to be here. But there's other people up farther up in the canyon that are able to get access through other trails that go out into the Pima County. There was some confusion at the shutdown. The concessionaires who are contract with the National Park Service, National Forest Service, or BLM to provide services on the national lands like campgrounds or the Sabino Canyon Tram, we're all told on Monday that, hey, you're able to continue to operate your concessions, and they all planned on operating their concessions and continued to do that on Tuesday as the shutdown rolled out. But then late Tuesday and into Wednesday, they were all told, no. Rule from on high is there's no concessions. You're all shut down. So there's some question as to whether that was done for liability reasons and that they didn't want people in there who would be getting hurt and they would have to be hauled out and there wasn't the infrastructure in place because everybody was furloughed to do that, or whether it was political to really drive home the pain of the shutdown of the government. Because for the most part, unless you're doing business with the government or you're employed by the federal government and been furloughed, it's hard to notice that the federal government is part of the federal government's not in operation.
It is a mess, though, Linda, and we talked a little bit about this Friday about the Grand Canyon. Last Friday we talked about it, but the Grand Canyon is closed, the national park, and I think both you and I agree that there should be some way to try to open it up, as was the case in the last shutdown in the mid-90s, the state of Arizona did open it. The governor initially said she was not interested.
She basically said it wasn't a priority
exactly
of hers.
Not interested in doing that. Was not a priority. Now, yesterday, I understand, she changed her mind.
That might be a bit generous to say she changed her mind. I think she did make
had
some
change for her.
Yeah, she realized this was not going to play
this is
well.
Not a good issue.
She's made a few efforts that were not successful, as I understand it. But it's not as simple as simply providing the money to the Park Service and it doesn't work that way. And that, I understand, is one of the ways that she tried to do this. It's very interesting that the Flagstaff paper, the Flagstaff Sun, has come out and said, this is really important to us. We're the gateway. It matters a lot. Find a way to keep it open. But they don't want that to happen with one of the piecemeal bills from Congress.
Yeah, I saw that editorial.
It's very interesting. And they're saying because, running the government by piecemeal and holding it hostage is not the way to do it. On the other hand, they would be very grateful, as the whole state would benefit, if the governor finds a way to open it up.
Yeah, because the people who read that paper, they are very impacted by the Grand Canyon closing. An example, one of the hotel operators in the Grand Canyon area said they have had so many cancellations, and October is one of the prime months.
It's got to be.
Autumn leaves turning. Mm-hmm. It's a great month to be up at the Grand Canyon. Costing them $20,000 a day, this particular hotel that is just outside of the park. That's a lot of money.
For a small business that can put you out of business. I mean, I think that's what, a lot, it's a lot more than just the federal workers who are not getting paychecks. That's bad enough. That's pretty hard on a family. But there's a lot of spin-offs, and there's also thousands of people this week who didn't get their checks from DES, their welfare checks. People depend on that, and when it's all tallied up, it's going to be a big cost of have doing this.
The National Park Service did, I think it was either last year or 2011, did a big research paper on the economic impact of the Grand Canyon. And it was peer-reviewed. You know, it wasn't all done as just rosy for the NPS. It was done by academics at universities. And it showed that on average, the canyon is responsible for about $1.4 million a day in economic activity.
Wow.
So when you close it, people aren't coming. They're canceling their hotel reservations. They're not eating in restaurants. They're not shopping in shops in Flagstaff or Williams or Grand Canyon Village or even in Boulder. In Las Vegas, the ripple effects are enormous, and so it is that and Yosemite and Yellowstone and all those other communities that rely on those national parks are all being devastated by this. But I think until we start seeing in the city of Phoenix or in Tucson and in other cities actual real economic pain caused by the shutdown, I don't think we're going to see the political pressure that's going to be necessary to move us past this. This impasse. It's going to require the Speaker of the House to decide to take some of his votes and put them with some Democratic votes, and move a bill that funds the country. And he'll probably have to do it at the expense of his speakership.
Linda, Congressman Ron Barber has angered many Southern Arizona Democrats by voting with the Republicans in the House this week on a bill that would have delayed a key part of Obamacare, the Affordable Health Act, in order to prevent the government shutdown. Is this a big deal for Mr. Barber's political future?
It's a big deal among some Democrats. There's talk now that we must put up a primary fight against him. It seems to me that this could go either way. If there's a primary battle and he loses that to a more liberal candidate, then I would say the Democrats are going to lose that seat. On the other hand, if there's a primary battle and he's tagged as being too conservative, that could help him in the general election. That was a very close election, and he's going to be facing Martha McSally, most likely facing her again. And the accusations against him last time were that he was too liberal for that district. So it could end up helping him.
It's a real tight rope for Mr. Barber.
It is a tight rope for him. It is. You know, he won the election because he won Pima County last time. He lost Cochise County. So if he alienates the more left-leaning folks in Pima County, that could cost him some votes, too.
This is all about independence. The two congressional districts in Arizona that are split 50-50, in which the independent voters have the balance of power, is District 9 and District 2, and not surprisingly, both District 2 and District 9 representatives at one point during the very many votes that they were taking on Monday night cast a ballot with the Republicans to do something to Obamacare. And so that was Kyrsten Sinema was the other one who was up in Phoenix. The Democrats will be in a position if they're unhappy with Ron Barber, is if they run a primary him, if they do what the Republicans have been doing to each other and making their party more conservative, if they do to him the same thing and make the
party more liberal,
the independents are probably going to split to the right, which they tend to do in that district, and they're going to lose that seat to McSally. So at the end of the day, they're going to be unhappy. They're going to yell at him, but I think they end up holding their nose and voting for Barber next November.
Martha McSally made her announcement this week, as did a gentleman by the name of Ed Martin, who has worked on Capitol Hill and in the New York legislature. Mr. Martin will be running against Martha McSally. So she will face probably pretty, I would think this could get kind of be a bitter primary.
I think Martha McSally is probably going to have the establishment support.
Mm-hmm.
Even Mr. Martin has characterized it as a David and Goliath fight that he's in. Of course, it's always better not to have a primary opponent, but I don't think she's going to have any trouble.
I agree with that. I mean, we'll see when the first batch of campaign finance comes in, and if he's got some money, then we'll have to reconsider where he's drawing his support from within the county, and maybe Martha McSally doesn't appear to be the nominee as she does right now. But my guess is that he's not going to draw enough money to really have an effect on that race. Now, we'll see if there's a whole bunch of other people that jump in as well. But, you know, McSally came close with Barbara last time. You might as well try again with her, then beat yourselves up and have her force whoever it is to spend a whole bunch of money in a primary like they did last year.
And then Andy Tobin, the Speaker of the Arizona House of Representatives, announcing he's running for Congress in the district that is probably, I think it is, the biggest district in Arizona, Congressional District Number 1, going from parts of Moran and Oro Valley all the way up to extreme northern Arizona. There are now three candidates, Adam Quasman, state lawmaker. There's also a gentleman by the name of Gary, and I do not know how to pronounce his last name, K-I-E-H-N-E. He's characterized in your paper, The Republic, as a oil man. I'm not sure
what that means, but
we do have well. Then a three-way primary on the Republican side. So
I think Adam has been making noise about backing out now.
Oh, really?
Tobin's in the race, yeah. And I think, and not too surprised about Tobin, I think he was termed out, so he was going to have to make a decision after the end of next year anyway whether he wanted to run in some other district. Or run for this House. Where is he? He's the Speaker?
He's the Speaker.
Yeah, so whether he'd have to run for the Senate. And so I'm not surprised.
All right. So that race will be to see who will be running against Ann Kirkpatrick. Another big story this week, Linda Valdez, appeals court upholding school voucher program. This could really have wide-ranging implications for public schools in Arizona.
Well, it certainly could. It will go to the Supreme Court, and so the final chapter has yet to be written on that one. 4 years ago, a Supreme Court ruled that a similar program was unconstitutional, so we'll have to wait and see what happens. But this particular case dealt with vouchers for disabled children, and the legislature has since expanded so that anyone in failing schools can get a voucher. It's really part of a continual effort to make vouchers widely available. It's going to undermine every time someone leaves the public school system for a voucher for a private or parochial school, that much money leaves the public school system, and it undermines their funding base. And Arizona's public schools have taken an enormous hit during the recession. So it's not a good thing for the public school system if you value that. This was an unhappy occurrence.
Yeah, it's going to have to go to the Supreme Court, and they've already ruled on a very similar thing once. But you never know with this current court. So, we'll see in 2 years.
And the access expansion challenge now has gone to court. The governor asked a judge this week to throw out the legal challenge. The Goldwater Institute is behind this challenge to the Medicaid expansion. It's going to be very interesting to see how the Arizona Constitution, Linda Valdez, will be interpreted by the courts.
And at this point, I think we're still at the point of deciding whether those who have brought the suit have standing to bring the suit.
That's a very big thing, yeah, because it's being brought by, quote, disgruntled lawmakers.
That's what the governor has called them, which, and this is one of those issues where you have to wonder about the governor. I mean, this is so, the whole Medicaid issue has been so contrary to the rest of her politics, but she's sticking with it and she's fighting this one out with the Goldwater Institute, one of her allies.
This is an issue that I think probably needs to be adjudicated as to whether or not this fee that they're imposing that looks and acts like a tax is actually a tax. Whether legislators can say, well, we lost and therefore we don't like this law, so we have standing to sue to prevent the law that we lost in the deliberative body, seems probably not going to happen. That said, the only way that you could really find someone with standing is a hospital who doesn't want to pay the fee, but they specifically crafted the bill so that the people who didn't want to pay the fee aren't included in it. So I don't think that there's going to be an issue of that was not going to bring this issue forward so it can be adjudicated.
Is the stalemate going to end this week? That's my final question for you.
The shutdown?
It is exactly up to the speaker. Yeah. Well, it will be interesting. I think they're going to probably wind up bundling the debt ceiling, which is expiring within two weeks.
The 17th.
That's how we get out of this. It's so frightening what could happen there that I think you'll finally see the Republicans break from their caucus have a split vote.
Well, there are more of them that are peeling off and saying, let's have a clean vote. Let's have a vote on a clean bill.
Well, hopefully it will end very soon. Linda and Mark, hope you both have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
All right. We've got Weekend Watch with Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business coming up next.
Business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Always use that music. I love to hear it. It signals the weekend is officially here on the Buckmaster Show, and that means Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just three and a half hours east of Tucson. Just a delightful place to go for a autumn weekend, and especially this weekend. Pinos Altos Fiesta is happening, and the Mimbres Valley Harvest Festival. Lots of great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, including Bear Mountain Lodge, Casitas de Gila Guest Houses, and Manzano's RV Park. Check out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of our Weekend Watch segment, Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great. A beautiful fall Friday here in southern Arizona. I just love this time of year.
It is a great time of year, and something tells me you're hungry.
Surprise, surprise, Bill.
Is a pizza in your future?
I would think so. Now, look, Chef Aaron May has been quite busy these days. Now, he's the guy that brought us May's Counter and the Lodge Sasquatch Kitchen, and he's now introducing us to his perspectives on pizza with the recent opening of the Heist Pizza Parlor, located over on Broadway and Kolb. The Heist features a respectable range of artisanal pizzas with completely out-of-the-box toppings like cauliflower, cherries, even Brussels sprouts, and the cocktail list is equally as interesting. There's a cocktail on the menu that has tequila, fresh chilies, and cilantro. Bill, I don't know about you, but I'm intrigued enough to give the Heist a try this weekend.
Well, all those Brussels sprouts that your mother said you need to eat and you didn't eat, you can make up for it now with a Brussels sprouts pizza. Well, there you how about some wine?
Yeah, Tucson's newest wine bar just opened, Bill, and it's already attracting some serious buzz. It's called Unplugged, and it offers about 50 wines by the bottle and 15 wines by the glass, which is a lot of vino for a place that's not even 700 square feet. Now, these guys stock some of the most interesting wines I've seen comparing it to places around town, and they offer a nice menu of small tasting plates to pair up with those wines as well. Unplugged is at 118 East Congress Street, of course, the newest addition to Tucson's vibrant downtown scene, and I think it's the perfect place to enjoy a gorgeous bottle of wine this weekend.
Everybody gets into Oktoberfest, and it seems like every weekend there's a different event, and there is one here in town.
Yeah, my pick for Oktoberfest this week is Oktoberfest at Trail Dust Town, of course on Tankerville Road, just west of Grand. It kicks off on Sunday at 4 p.m. They're going to be serving up music from the Bouncing Czechs and the Greasy Light Orchestra. Beer and food specials will be available, as will stunt shows and beer stein races and a lot of other activities. I just love Trail Dust Town, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Old West and Old Europe will work together at Oktoberfest, Wild West style, at Trail Dust Town this Sunday.
How about Inside Tucson Business, this week's column?
Yeah, we're looking at a couple of restaurants that are a part of Tucson Meet Yourself, which is this global celebration of art, culture, and cuisine coming up on October the 11th through the 13th. I took a look at two restaurateurs that are doing some really funky things food-wise from different parts of the globe. So pick up a copy of Inside Tucson Business and check it out today.
And you know what they call Tucson Meet Yourself? Tucson Eat Yourself.
Eat Yourself. Astronomically known to us insiders as Tucson Eat Yourself. I love it.
All right, Matt Russell, thank you very much. We'll look for the column in Inside Tucson Business, and we hope you have a tremendously entertaining and good weekend.
Well, I'm right back at you, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Coming up Monday on the Buckmaster Show, it is our political face-off and General John Wickham, former The former chief of staff of the U.S. Army will have his monthly visit to the Buckmaster Show. That is Monday at 12:04. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thank you, Culligan, for making available to all of the in-studio guests on the Buckmaster Show a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. And, of course, all the employees here at KVOI, thank you as well for making that bottle water available to all of us. It's the weekend. Weekend talk begins tomorrow here. And if you're into gardening like I am, I always look forward to listening to Phil Cedar. He's the expert gardener, and he comes along with his show, starts tomorrow at 7 a.m., and it really begins really a full cycle of Saturday and Sunday expert talk here on KVOI. But before we get to the weekend, we have John C. Scott's show this afternoon. John, the Dean of Local Talk, 3 to 5 on KVOI, then Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe Monday morning. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, she is the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt. I call her our ace producer, Rosemary Brandt. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.